Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you will come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ in Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson brought to us by James Andrews.
But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered him, Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. And Jesus said to him, Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. You may be seated.
That isn't too far. I think it is. I want you to imagine the intensity of disappointment that beset the heart of a lowly craftsman in northern Galilee when he learned that his beloved was with child, not his. Joseph loved Mary so very much. And instead of making a public spectacle of her, he would put her away privately. They were formally engaged. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now, notice details here. She will bring forth a son. I'm going to name him for you. You're going to say his name is Jesus because he's going to be a master teacher. No, he would be a master teacher. That's not the reason we're going to call him Jesus. He's going to work many great miracles, raise the dead, cast out devils. Yes, he is, but that's not the reason we're going to call him Jesus. We're going to call him Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. Luke 19:10, Jesus said, The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. It's easy to say. That takes one breath. It's a short sentence. But the background of it is not so very easy. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's what it means. He shall save his people from their sins by giving his life a ransom for many. Do you understand that? I don't understand it. I believe it, but I don't understand it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 beginning, speaks about that kind of salvation. This salvation, the prophets, the Old Testament prophets, desired to look into. They knew about it, but they didn't know how it would be affected. They desired to understand it. Peter goes on to say things which even angels desire to look into. One of my joys in Bible study is to be reading a passage and something in the passage grabbed me. Like, I never have seen that before. Never have noticed that's there. Unless you're a very meticulous Bible student, something's going to grab you in this passage. When I start reading, you'll say, well, I've memorized that. It's no problem, but Matthew 16, verse 13, Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi and he said, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Familiar? Yes. Oh, some say you're Elias, John the Baptist, one of the prophets, whatever. But whom do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen carefully. Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give to thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Where's the catch, James? It's not here yet. We know all that and we understand it. It's very interesting and familiar. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he is the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to show the disciples the many things that would happen to him, that he would be killed, that he would be raised again the third day. Now, watch this. Peter took him aside, not before all the other apostles. He didn't want to reprimand his Lord before them. He took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." Where's the catch? It's not here yet, but it's about to come. The blessed Simon, son of Jonah, who was commended so highly by our Lord and given the keys of the kingdom, was addressed like this. "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but of men." Now, who is Jesus talking to? Well, he said to Peter. How did he address Peter? He called him Satan. He's just said that these things you've said, Peter, have been given you by my Father who is in heaven. Now he comes along and says, "Satan, get behind me." There's the catch right there. And you know, there's something about this we don't know. I don't know if Jesus was actually addressing Satan or if he was just calling Peter Satan. I think perhaps it was Satan who was revealing these things through Peter, and Jesus is addressing Satan as he looks Peter in the face and says, "You get behind me." But whatever, Satan was using Peter to say these things. It's very complex. It's very difficult because God is God. He's powerful. He can do all things that we cannot imagine. And here he comes along and allows Satan to get hold of the most outspoken apostle that Jesus has. Now, Luke 22 at verse 31 beginning, here's a mysterious passage, but very important. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon," that's Peter. This is after the occurrence we just read. "Indeed, Satan has asked for you." Not you singular, you plural, you 12 apostles. "Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you, Peter," singular, "when you have been converted, strengthen the brethren." Peter said, "You're still wrong, Lord. I will go with you to prison and to death. It will not happen as you say." Can you imagine somebody being in a fuss with the Lord? Didn't Peter know better? Oh, he was a strong man. "Lord, you're underestimating me. It will not happen as you say. You go to prison, I go to prison. You go to death, I go to death." And then Jesus said, "I say to you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny three times that you know me." I have a question for Jesus. Why are you handing these apostles over to Satan? Well, he asked for them. Well, do you try to placate Satan? Do you want to do all Satan wants you to know? No, but there's something here that you don't understand. If I don't do that, number one, Satan will say, you're being unfair and you're a coward and what you're doing will not work. But also, if I don't do that, how will these men be able to stay on Pentecost, to a screaming, angry mob, you have crucified the Son of God? How will they at the temple say to the Supreme Court of Judaism, we cannot help but preach those things we've seen and heard? And how will it be that they will put their head on the chopping block and let an official cut it off if they're not tested? Jeremiah said, and I love this, Jeremiah 12:5, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with the horses? Jesus said, if you can't stand up against these little physical things, how can you contend when the big things come along? I'm going to put you out to Satan, and I'm going to let him do as he wants to do. It's like the football coach, high school football coach. He has a wonderful quarterback, 150 pounds lightning flash, lightning fast, can thread a needle with a football. And the coach takes his varsity, the offensive team, and pitches it against the third string defense. And the quarterback saying, coach, we beat them 70-0. I mean, they don't have a chance. I've got the greatest arm in the world. They don't have a chance. But then in that first game, on that keeper, just going to run it right across the goal line here, that 250-pound lineman on the other side turns him three flips in the air. Coach didn't teach them to contend with the horses, only with the third string defense. Jesus wanted his men to contend with, he wants you to contend with the horses. And we get weak and trembly and feeble when some small temptation comes along. And he said, if you can't handle that, how can you handle what's coming? Revelation 13:8 has this to say, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names are not, have not been written in the book of life, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What Jesus is announcing here about the cross and all that is not new to him. And Peter comes along and says, that's new to us, Lord. It won't happen. I'm going to stand with you, and I think all these men here, we're all going to stand with you. It won't happen. Jesus, in essence, said, it's already happened. Don't argue with me about this. Yet, thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense to me. It is a done deal. I've seen it a million times. I know what's going to occur. John 13:27, after the piece of bread in the upper room, Satan entered Judas, and Jesus said to him, what you do, do it quickly. Now, Jesus, why didn't you stop him? Why didn't you say, Judas, I see what's on your mind. Peter, you men bind him and put him over here in the corner. He's about to go and get the temple guards, the soldiers. They're going to arrest me. Jesus didn't say that because it had to be. Jesus' betrayer, according to Mark chapter 14, verse 44, had given them a signal, and he said, whoever I kiss, he is the one, seize him and lead him away safely. As soon as he had come, Jesus had come immediately, he went up to him and said to him, Rabbi, and he kissed him. Jesus walked into the trap. Don't let anybody tell you that. Judas and the soldiers walked into the trap. It was a trap set by God, not a trap set by Judas. Not a trap set by the temple soldiers. It was a trap set by God. Oh, intense pain for Jesus. In the garden, it says he was deeply distressed. He was nigh unto death. In fact, he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. The man Jesus, let me say that again, the flesh Jesus was in a terrible kind of situation. The God Jesus was not. The man Jesus was about to die. So much so that the Father in heaven sent an angel to strengthen him so he wouldn't die. He was to die on the cross. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. He could not die on the ground. If our Lord had died on the ground, you would not be sitting here. You would not have eaten the Lord's Supper. You would not be singing, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. You would not be thinking the Lord is in his holy temple. You would be a rank heathen, drowning in your own sins. I don't like Caiaphas. I know he's the high priest. He's an agent of God. But when Jesus is dragged into his court, he knows, Caiaphas knows, he's going to condemn him. He doesn't know why, so he says, go out and get some witnesses. Well, we don't have any real witnesses against him. Get some witnesses. Did you hear what? Get some witnesses. And the witnesses came in and he examined them and they contradicted each other. Throw the case out. No. It's a trap for Caiaphas. Caiaphas is trapped. Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus, I'm going to put you under oath. Jesus, see, didn't want to talk to him. I put you under oath by the living God. That's one of the funniest statements in the Bible. That's one of two I want to talk about today. Jesus, I put you under oath. God is under oath to God. Tell us if you're the Christ, the Son of God. You can't put me under oath. No, Jesus didn't say that. He submitted. It is as you say. We don't need any more witnesses. I mean, stop. Jesus continues talking. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Enough blasphemy. Anybody here thinks he hasn't blasphemed? Raise your hand if you think he hasn't blasphemed. Where's Peter? He's out in the woods crying. Where's Thomas? He's way out there in the shadow somewhere. Where's Judas? He's running out to hang himself. Where are the other apostles? Raise your hand. We can't hear you. Anybody think he hasn't blasphemed? How many think he has blasphemed? All of them. Well, that settles it. Now we're going to have to trick Pilate. Because Pilate's the Roman ruler. He's the Roman judge. So they got Pilate out of bed. Pilate is a bit irritated, no doubt. He says, where are you from? Jesus. And this is the other funny thing. Because Jesus wouldn't answer, and he said, aren't you speaking to me? Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you? The power to release you? Pilate, you're in God's trap. You think you've got Jesus trapped? No, 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 no. He has you trapped. Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you or release you? Jesus said, you could have no power against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Pilate, the great ruler, should have said, don't pay any attention to that. I don't believe what you're saying. But he didn't. It frightened him. He saw something in his trial he'd never seen before. He saw something in the man he'd never seen before. And he tried and tried and tried to release him. Didn't work. He was trapped. Said, bring him a basin of water. Washed his hands. I'm innocent of the blood of this just man, this righteous man. See you to it. There had been the betrayal, false accusations, Peter's denial, beatings, the crown of thorns on his head, the path to Golgotha. They laid the cross on his bleeding back. To the man Jesus, terrible, terrible torture. Could not have been worse. 15 hours from the time he was arrested, he was on the cross. Terrible situation. Too difficult to comprehend. But you remember Jeremiah Denton. Jeremiah Denton was shot down in Vietnam. An Alabama native, by the way. He was beaten over a 5-year period more than 500 times. Denton is the man who came on television to make an apology for what the U.S. was doing in Vietnam. And with his eyes, he blinked out the Morse code, T-O-R-T-U-R-E. Tortured 5 years. Our Lord tortured 18 hours. Well, are you trying to say, James, that Jeremiah Denton was tortured more than Jesus was tortured? I'll let that drop right there. But I will say this. Jesus' pain was not the nails, not the whip, not the thorns, not the cross. Jesus' pain was my sin. Because he bore my sin, something he never touched. We have a high priest in all points tempted like as us, yet without sin. And because he was without sin, he took yours. The Father laid it on him and he went to the cross. And he suffered not under the hands of the Romans. He suffered under the hand of the Father to pay for our sins. You who destroy the temple and build it up in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross, we'll believe you. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. if he will have him, for he said, I'm the Son of God. We don't believe that, of course. What was that doing to Jesus? Nothing. He was on a different page. He had a different mission. Those Jews and those Romans had walked into his trap. And he was saying things like, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And then finally, it is finished. This matter is paid in full. And then the centurion made two statements. He said, this was a good man. And then he said, truly, this was the Son of God. That's a Roman centurion. It's not a Jew. A Roman centurion. A pagan. Truly, this was the Son of God. What was the real burden of the cross? The Apostle Paul knew. This is a faithful saying, he said in 1 Timothy 1:15, worthy of all acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul, what do you think about the death of Christ? I think it's wonderful. I mean, as much as it hurt him physically, it was the only thing to be done that could deliver me from eternal damnation. I was the chief of sinners, and he moved me out of that. He transferred me somewhere else. What about our joy? Our joy. The joy of us, 2013 at West Huntsville. Paul said to the elders of the church at Ephesus, take heed to yourselves and all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Romans 3, beginning in verse 22, there's no difference in Jew and Gentile. What do you mean, Paul? Well, the Jews think that they haven't committed any sin. They're the seed of Abraham, and the Gentiles think they're lost or saved by their pagan God. There's no difference in the two. Both are lost. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent to be a propitiation for sin by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in the forbearance, God passed over the sins that were previously committed. Romans 5, 8, God commends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And it's amazing that some Christian would go so far as to say, well, it's a great gift. I can do anything I want to and still be saved. Paul says, no, no. Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Well, you know, all that sounds good, but how can I be certain it works? I have trouble with my faith sometime. It kind of gets shaky, and, you know, there are many fun things to do out here, and there are many restrictions over here, and I'm just not so sure that all these sacrifices I make are worthwhile. I'm just not sure about it. Well, how could Abraham be sure that he was going to have a son? He had trouble with that, didn't he? He struggled with it and finally came to the conclusion he was going to have a son. He believed that, and Ishmael was born. Isaac was born to him. Ishmael was too, but it was not the son of promise. How could Naaman be sure that dipping in the Jordan River would cleanse his leprosy? He wasn't. He became very angry. He said, that's a nasty river. I'll go back to Damascus and I'll dip in that river. Those rivers up there, they'll work better. Of course, I wouldn't be so foolish as to do that, but everybody knows that water is not going to wash away leprosy anyway. So he went off in a rage, and one of his servants said, "Master, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, would thou not have done it?" So he went and dipped 6 times in Jordan and came up a leper. And then he dipped 1 more time and came up and, ladies, I've said this before to you, but I have to say it again. He did in that last dip what cost you thousands of dollars a year. His flesh became like that of a baby. Wouldn't that be nice? Don't try the Jordan. It won't work for you. But it worked for him. Noah invested many years in building an ark. How did he know there was going to be a flood? There never had been. No testimony on earth to that effect. God said it. He believed it. How can I be sure that the cross does for me what you said it would do, James? Well, many verses. John 3:16 is a great one. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There it is right there. Because in that verse, "God so loved the world that he gave," God's grace was handed out through Jesus Christ. That whosoever believes, through faith we reach and receive that grace. It's just that simple. Those on Pentecost said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "You have to call on the name of the Lord to be saved." He quoted Joel. How do we do that? You need to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have to reach and get that grace. "God so loved the world that he gave, and whosoever believes," and you know what? Those people believed on Pentecost. And they reached and received that grace. Amazing? Yes, it is. Wonderful. But look what it did for Paul. "For this reason," he said in 2 Timothy, his last letter, 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Paul, are you sure about that? Yes, I'm sure. Don't let the cross be in vain. Apply it to yourself. God's grace is there. It's waiting for you to take it. You take it through faith, an obedient faith that reaches right to your soul. And as you're immersed in water, the blood of Christ, not the water, the blood of Christ cleanses you, that you may be raised to walk a new life. That's the power of the cross. If we can assist you, please come as we stand and sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.